Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman here. We've got some great tours lined up 2026. Washington, D.C., George Washington's Mount Vernon, Colonial Williamsburg, Historic Jamestown, Boston, Massachusetts, and that greater area. So much to see and do in 2026. If you want information on any of these trips, go to wildmangroup.com, WILDMONgroup.com, and we'll see you on one of our tours in 2026.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network for this Wednesday, December 31, 2025. In other words, it's the last show of the year, ladies and gentlemen, for this particular program or any of the shows on American Family Radio, because we're flipping the calendar, and it'll be 2026 coming up in about, what, how many hours, fellas?
14 hours.
I can't figure anymore.
Yeah, that's right. 13 hours and 54 minutes.
Okay. Wesley Wildman, good morning, Wesley.
Hey, good morning.
You're a math whiz there.
Yes, sir.
Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning to you.
Chris Woodward, good morning.
Thank you. Math is why I have a BA in communication. One math.
That was my one good subject.
What, math? Well, your one good one?
My one good one. One good subject.
You'll hang your hat on that math.
That's right.
You didn't get it from me, my friend. My son, I did not pass a legacy of math excellence on down.
Well, here's the problem.
Well, now, wait a minute. Yeah. Let me just say this, and you can tell us what the problem was. I excelled at something called adding and subtracting, multiplying and dividing. I was right there at the top of the class.
Yeah.
Then somewhere along sixth or seventh grade, they introduced something called algebra. Fred, algebra really disrupted my, well, it affected my personality.
It was a curse.
I said to the teacher, with all due respect, I don't think I said it like that. Maybe when I was sixth grade, I was going, I'm sorry, this is not math.
No. And what am I going to use this for?
That's right.
Well, one day you may want to build a bridge, son.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. No, I've teased about that from time to time, and we do not need emails, calls, and letters from electrical engineers or mathematicians. We understand fully and appreciate what algebra and advanced math, what I call geometry, trigonometry, and
calculus,
what those things add to. Fred, you're shaking your head like you still don't understand.
I had to take calculus for my science degree, biology and chemistry and calculus. Calculus, every day, where is this possibly going to be used?
Yeah. What about you, Chris? Where did you use calculus along your life's journey?
Never. In the classroom when I was being told I would use this in the future. As a matter of fact, do you guys remember ever using a slide rule?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
The reason I ask that is because growing up, I had always heard about a slide rule. I'd never used one, had never held one in my hands. The first time I ever actually saw a slide rule being used was when I was watching Apollo 13 or whatever it was with my dad. There was a scene in there where somebody in NASA was using this thing, and I remember going, "What's that?" And my dad was like, "It's a slide rule, you idiot." And yeah. And right then I knew, like, you know, math was not for me.
All right. What were you going to say, Wesley, 2 minutes ago?
Yes. What I was going to say is I had to make a decision early on. Was I going to be,
right,
you know, a C plus in everything,
right,
or be great in one?
Mm. Right.
And so I threw all my eggs in the math basket and was like, this will be it. I'll be good at math.
Okay. And it worked out.
And it
for
worked
you.
Out. That's yeah. right.
And now? So, you use it to figure up batting averages for
that's right. all
for
the
10-year-olds
numbers. Yep, that's right. Yep,
and your youth baseball.
And
coach.
I'm the only one that cares about it.
But you care a lot.
I care a lot. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody, on the last program of the year. As I said here on today's issues, December 31, 2025.
Any more or less pressure?
Well,
I don't know.
I look at Fred.
Not feeling it.
Fred and I. Now you guys still in your you got kids at home, Chris?
I do.
Right?
I do.
Okay. And Wesley still got
kids.
He got three young children. Mm. 10,
10, 7, and 4.
10, 7, and 4. See, math worked right there
That's
for
right.
you.
Boom, 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 boom.
You remembered your kids' ages. Didn't even have to think about it. But Fred and I are moving on down the highway here, and
yeah,
and we're looking at the calendar start flipping faster and faster. It's 2026, Fred, and I still got food in my pantry from Y2K. What do we?
And what's Y2K?
That's right. There you go.
When people don't know what Y2K is, you flew past it. Anyway, so to put this in perspective, we're a quarter of a century past Y2K.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, true.
I told somebody the other day that I was with, they were 78.
Yep.
And this was my uncle. I just told my uncle, and we were golfing. I golfed with my uncle, dear fella. I said, how old are you now? He said, 78. Be 79 this year, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, we know each other close enough to where this isn't offensive. I said, so you're in the fourth quarter. I said, and I'm about to be in the fourth quarter myself. Anyway, life, enjoy life as much as you possibly can each and every day because, it passes so fast. Go ahead, Fred.
But, we mentioned Y2K.
Yeah.
You remember the panic? When that was coming.
Oh, yeah.
People were buying food to store.
Yeah.
And they took a lot of money out of their bank accounts
because
they weren't sure the banks were going to.
It was a computer pandemic scare is what
sure
it
was.
They told us, everything's going to be messed up. And and there were very few glitches. I know a lot of people who were. I was kind of skeptical, and with my skepticism, a couple of my friends said, "Are you crazy?
Yeah,
this is it. This is the end." All right, Alex McFarland will be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour, so we will talk to Brother Alex. And if Wesley, tell folks if they want to watch on what Ed calls at their internet, how can they join us today?
Stream.afa.net, stream.afa.net. There you can watch us live for free. All you need to do is log in. There's no charge or fee or anything like that. Now, there's obviously more content there. If you get across there that you may have to pay for. But otherwise, just to watch our radio program and the rest of the radio program is free. Also, go to afr.net. Or download the AFR app on any smart device, and there you can listen to us anywhere you are.
Okay.
Wesley mentioned Ed. Is Ed coming back next year?
Yeah, Ed's going to be back on the show next year. He wants to renegotiate his contract.
Okay.
So we're getting
NIL demands.
Yeah, we're going through that now. Our lawyers are talking, and so maybe they'll hash something out. Ed. He always wants more.
Ed's demands would include a Diet Coke and cough drops laid out.
Well, he wants more, though. He wants more Diet Cokes.
Yeah. More
cough drops.
He's asking for more space so he can put more.
Yeah. So
cough drops.
We'll see. He said he's going to hold out until we meet his demands. So we'll see how that works out. All right. What's your first story, Chris?
Well, it appears that we are farther along, far away from any sort of peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. And I say that because in recent days, of course, President Trump hosted Vladimir Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, at Mar-a-Lago in Florida. And it sounded like that maybe we were near some sort of a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia because February, for those not aware, February will mark 4 years since Russia invaded Ukraine and tried to take that country back into part of Russia. Overnight, Ukrainian drone strikes hit energy sites and homes across Russia to the point that even Moscow is in the dark today based on successful drone strikes by Ukraine. So as we're heading into 2026, I think it would be good if we, the body of Christ, really prayed for peace and wisdom for our leaders, because there is a big situation going on that really requires a lot of our attention.
Fred, what about this? This is a Yeah, we're kidding around here, joking around, but this is a very serious matter on the other side of the world, right?
Yeah, exactly. And as President Trump has pointed out many times, thousands of people have been killed in this. And yes, we have these negotiations going on, but every time, whether Zelensky, the Ukrainian leader, or Putin talks about we're moving closer, and Trump has these meetings, has phone calls with Putin, and then within 24 hours, we get stories like we have this morning, where Ukrainian drones hit Moscow. Just yesterday, we had Russian drones hitting apartment buildings in Kyiv, and on it goes. Yeah. I mean, Odessa.
It really is a tinder box right now.
Oh, it is. We just don't see it. I'm sorry. As we approach midnight tonight and go into 2026, I see no end in sight anytime soon in this horrible conflict.
It seems like there's going to be an absolute winner and an absolute loser. And, okay, Russia, you know, people who observe that part of the world were really stunned that the war against Ukraine lasted more than a few months, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Because the mighty Russian army was supposed to invade, conquer, and take over and absorb Ukraine into the to Russia, be a part of Russia. Yeah. It didn't happen.
No.
It didn't happen, and the Ukrainian fighters have just fought valiantly and use their resources to the max to hold off a complete takeover of Ukraine. But yeah, now Ukraine is using drones and they're taking out, they're going back at Moscow. Mm-hmm. Just like Moscow's been attacking Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. Now, the Ukrainian fighters and the drones and the military are going into the heart of Russia. And causing blackouts in Moscow. So it's really ramping up over there, and I don't know what the next few days or weeks hold, but it could explode even further.
Yes.
So anyway,
it is kind of surprising after 2 years that Ukraine they've shifted early on from being defensive because they were surprised. Now they're being more offensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that computers, cyber warfare, and drones have changed the landscape of modern day warfare. Mm. It's so you can do guerrilla warfare, with the and cause your enemy a lot of pain. Mm. Even though you're outnumbered and you're outmanned and you're outgunned,
if you strategize well,
so they. What were you going to say?
I was going to say we carried out a drone strike on that Venezuelan dock.
The drones have been a game changer. Mm-hmm. But because you see these pictures, these videos of the Ukrainians using drones to take out, $10 million tanks that are out in the field. Well, but with one drone. So anyway, we will see what happens. But it's a very tense situation. I don't know. With all due respect to President Trump, I don't know. I don't think he can do anything about this. He's probably about to, he wants to put a positive spin on his conversations with Putin, but I think Putin's played him, Trump's hard to play. because he's been around the block, and Trump knows how people act and behave and. And he's dealt with, folks his whole life where he's had to do negotiations in the New York business world and so forth and so on. But I do think that Putin is just going to keep on doing what he's doing for as long as he has to before he takes Ukraine. I don't think anything he says to President Trump I don't think truth is a factor. Yeah.
No, I remember that Alaska summit. Between Trump and Putin.
Yeah.
And I mean, shaking hands and smiling and all of that sort of thing. And then within 48 hours, Putin was at it again.
Yeah. Also, with respect to Zelensky and the Ukrainians, They fought gallantly. Whatever you may think, I know some people say, well, Ukraine is as corrupt as Russia or whatever. You hear that, and I understand that. Put all your political leanings aside or what you may think of the Ukrainians, the government, and so forth. They fought like nobody ever thought that they could. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you talk about David and Goliath.
Yeah.
It's David, and David's still standing out there, little David,
mm-hmm.
If I can use a biblical metaphor here. So, and I see Zelensky, and he just gets up day after day after day and keeps on and carries on. And you would think somebody would just fold after a while, mentally and psychologically,
mm-hmm.
With his, leading his countrymen there. All right, so we do ask seriously people to pray about the situation between Russia and Ukraine, because it could get NATO involved, which means the U.S. would be involved. And not to mention all the innocent people that are dying over there. And I read these stories about Putin sending these soldiers out into the field, just hundreds and thousands of them, and they just get obliterated sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's just like they're they're toy soldiers in his mind.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? They're just numbers. Yeah. So, yeah, I read the story.
And
about,
it is. That's why they purchased.
Yeah, the mercenaries.
Mercenaries, yeah.
I don't know. There's stories about the North Koreans.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the North Koreans, which are allies with Russia, North Koreans are sending troops over to fight in the Ukraine war.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what they're doing.
Nope.
They don't know. And I feel bad for them, the North Korean soldiers. They don't have a choice. They're just shipped over there and told go out and fight.
Korean kids.
Huh?
That's what they are.
Yeah,
that's right.
They're kids, yeah.
They're just kids.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Tim, Fred, Wesley, and Chris. Next story, Chris.
All right. From Eastern Europe to Israel, where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is trying to speak out and speak against any kind of reports or speculation that he and President Trump don't really get along behind the scenes. This was something that's been going around for a couple of days. Lara Trump yesterday, the daughter-in-law of President Donald Trump, told Fox News it was fake news that Bibi and Trump do not get along. Somebody that said as much last night to Brett Baer was Benjamin Netanyahu himself. He did a pretty lengthy interview that I've posted the entire link to on our Today's Issues Facebook page. One of the things that Fox is running hard and heavy with today is Bibi telling Brett Baer, and this has music underneath it, but it's Bibi telling Brett Baer that he and Trump do get along. They have a strong alliance. Clip one.
The strength of the alliance between Israel and America. Israel emerged from the seven-front war that was foisted on us as the most powerful country in the Middle East. But part of that is this tremendous alliance that we have with the United States under President Trump.
Yeah, no question about it. When I saw the news conference yesterday after Prime Minister Netanyahu met with Trump at Mar-a-Lago, one of the announcements coming from Prime Minister Netanyahu was that they were going to name Trump Israeli Citizen of the Year, which is almost unheard of for them to go beyond the usual people, Jewish people that they name. No, I think the relationship is very close. I think there have been some spats with regards to the Gaza peace plan. And you will remember that Israel went in and took out some Hamas leaders in Qatar, and both Vice President Vance and Trump were very upset about that. So there have been some tense moments, but for the most part, Israel is extremely appreciative of what President Trump has done. So the relationship overall is very strong, but even strong relationships have their tense moments.
Yeah. Our relationship with Israel is much, much better than it was under the Biden administration. Traditionally, the United States, whether it be a Democrat or a Republican in the White House, has always had a strong relationship with Israel.
Uh-huh.
And it's been our best ally in the world, quite frankly, and certainly in the Middle East. I'm trying to think who would be our as good an ally to us in the world. Canada, over the years, Great Britain, certainly. But in terms of the Middle East, Israel is right there and has been. So it's good to see our relationship back on strong footing with Israel for many, many reasons. Mm-hmm. You're listening to today's issue. So did Benjamin Netanyahu, he went back to Israel, right?
I believe so. But yeah, he's probably going to come back at some point, because even Trump and his team said that Zelensky and Trump were going to meet again in the coming days.
Well, what does that have to do with
I would imagine he's going to have his same situation with Netanyahu, is what I meant.
Okay.
They'll probably meet again.
Okay, because they both want to meet equal times?
Well, Trump's still pushing for this second phase. You know, Trump's dead set on Hamas laying down its arms and giving up control of Gaza. And so they're going to continue to talk for that.
Would you please read the 18-point plan for us?
Sure. No. Yeah, or read point number 14 out loud, if you would, Chris. And we're going to review that.
We did read them out loud one day on
well,
the radio.
Well, it's a lot of points to the peace plan in the Israel. But the biggest one is the next one, which is demilitarizing.
Got them.
Having Hamas
paywall.
Yeah.
Hold two on. Or
they
three
weapons. What?
Seriously, where is that on the?
I think it's number two.
Yeah.
We're returning the hostages, number one.
Yeah. Correct.
Which that's been accomplished. But number two was for Hamas to lay down their weapons. And I don't know that's been confirmed or that's been done yet.
No.
So.
No.
I doubt they will.
Yep.
If history teaches us anything.
That's right.
I doubt that Hamas will do that, but hopefully they will. But I doubt that they will do that. But they have been neutralized, mm-hmm. and to say the least, by the Israeli IDF, the Israeli Defense IDF. What's the F stand for? Forces.
Mm-hmm.
Israeli Defense Forces. They're basically Gaza is squalor. Okay,
yep.
It's a rubble. Mm-hmm. It's been bombed to oblivion, and sadly, a lot of people have lost their lives, women and children who have no combatant role against Israel, but they just happen to live in a place that's controlled by wicked people,
terrorists.
Yeah, terrorists. So, who don't want any peace with Israel? They don't. They want to keep fighting against Israel till the end of time, mm-hmm. I guess. So, but we'll see. So with those people, you have to use force.
Yeah.
In fact, Netanyahu is just being quoted here. If disarmament can't be done the easy way, then we will find another way. And President Trump basically said the same thing the other day in the joint news conference with the prime minister. He said, we want Hamas to give up its arms.
Yeah.
If they don't, something very bad is going to happen to them.
Right. Well, also, in order for, you know, any hope of living conditions of the Palestinian people living in Gaza to improve, they've got to stop, Hamas has got to stop threatening Israel.
Yes.
Yeah.
In order for them, and then, I don't know, it would take years and years and years to rebuild.
That's if you started today, but it's not going to happen anytime soon, so.
Yeah, and you know, the one of the things that President Trump has mentioned and others, that's a beautiful piece of land.
It is.
On the Mediterranean Sea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could really be turned into something special,
mm-hmm.
As far as, I know President Trump's been mocked for, having the plans for maybe resorts and things of that nature there. But it would be a beautiful vacation place for people from around the world if it were ever to be a land of peace, and security.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, as I say, it's a beautiful piece of land. All right. Did you want to say anything else, Chris, before we went to a break?
No.
Okay.
He's just glad he doesn't have to read all 18.
Yeah. Oh, the Peace Point Plan?
Yes. It's pretty lengthy. There are, and some of it's like deep in the weeds, and I'm not making this up. It involves things like wastewater and sewage. So,
what point is that?
It's near 20.
Oh, you have to get down to 20?
Yeah. I mean, some of this stuff's behind a paywall.
We've reached point number two.
Wait, right. Yes.
All right, we'll be back momentarily. Dr. Alex McFarland will be joining us, and You just never know what we're going to talk about with Brother Alex. He's coming up next.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Life can be awful frustrating at times. There are frustrations at home, such as never enough time, hard to fix a meal which each member of the family likes. Any of you housewives ever do that? You know, you fix a meal and three out of four like it, but that fourth one doesn't. Another frustrating thing is that parents don't understand teenagers, and teenagers are inconsiderate to parents. Two, there are financial frustrations. Too often, it seems like there's too much month left at the end of the money. And job frustrations. The employees are lazy, the boss is too demanding, or the job is too confining. Life is full of frustrations. It doesn't take much to get you to agree to that. But if we are to remain sane in this world, we must learn how to handle frustrations. We must be able to face frustrations without becoming frustrated. Let us say that we cannot handle frustrations by becoming like those people in situations which cause frustrations. If we do, we will add to the problem rather than help in the solution. It helps tremendously if we can learn to accept frustration as a normal part of living. Once we do this, then we are in a position to learn from our frustrations, get something from them, and make them pay us their dividends. Sometimes there are simple solutions to our frustrations. If we're short on time, perhaps we're trying to do too much. If there isn't enough money for all our wants, perhaps we need to trim our wants a little and get them in line with our money. If we are habitually late, maybe we need to begin a little earlier. God has some simple answers for us if we will but pay attention to them. When frustrations come, cool down and think things over. A period where you can just be alone for a few moments and talk it over with God helps. Remember also that not everything is wrong. Most things are still right. Think on the things which are still right. Remember that God is still the same God, still present, willing, and wanting to help. We should not merely accept frustrations. No, we should attack them and put them on the defensive. We must not let them control us. We must always be in control of them. By doing this, we keep from letting our frustrations frustrate us. Frustrations can be frustrated. We're told that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Take Him up on that, and He'll help you frustrate even the most frustrating frustrations. In the Old Testament book Hosea, we read, "I will make the dale of trouble the door of hope." Can you imagine that? Turning trouble into hope. God is saying that He can actually frustrate frustrations. Let us not give up when faced with frustrations. Let us do with them what it was intended that we do with them. Make them constructive, useful situations. Keep in mind that we can, with the help of God, turn trouble into hope and frustrations into fruit.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. Colossians 1:13.
American Family Radio. This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. It is, as I said earlier, our last show of the year, December 31st, 2025. I'm Tim with Wesley, Fred, and Chris. And joining us now from the Tar Heel State of North Carolina is our peanut farmer, Alex McFarland. Good morning, Brother Alex.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, I don't want to start down this for 30 minutes or anything, but I did have one
leftover. I'm putting a timer on you. Go.
Okay. I did have one leftover question from last time when we discussed peanut farming with Alex, because in all seriousness, he does have a farm and he makes peanut butter. But I want to ask you, when is peanut season, growing season?
Well, for us, it's in the summertime in hot weather.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's summer. It's a summertime. Okay.
Yes.
A summertime, what do you call it, plant? It's not a fruit.
Yeah. No, it's not a fruit.
Not a fruit.
It's a legume.
Is it a vegetable?
It's a legume.
It's a legume. Okay. So we have fruits, vegetables, and legumes.
We.
Yeah. I just don't ever see that, you know, on a, when you go to the Outback. They don't offer salad and legumes. Okay. So, Alex, tell us about the Exploring the Word that you host with Brother Bert each weekday afternoon here on American Family Radio from 3 to 4 o'clock, which is a live radio Bible study.
Yeah.
Who's been helping you with when Bert's been out here?
Well, we've been very blessed over the years. You know, Jim Stanley has helped us some and Jeff Shambly some. Over Christmas, a dear friend of mine of 20 years, Dylan Burrows. Dylan is a Christian author. For years, he worked for John Ankerberg. I don't know. Tim, have you ever heard of John Ankerberg?
Oh, yeah. I used to watch his show on CBN on Sunday nights.
Yeah, a great apologetics guy. And he's a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary and adjunct professor at Liberty. And, we needed some fill-ins over the Christmas holiday, and he's been with us.
Now, is John Ankerberg, is he still with us?
Yeah, I think I haven't heard that he died. I think he retired from his show because we were at NRB. We always would see him at NRB, and I think it was last year I saw his wife.
I shouldn't ask
at
that live on the radio. That's tacky. Did somebody died or not?
Well, at least you can admit that, because I was thinking it.
You were thinking that was tacky?
Yes.
I apologize for that in all seriousness. I shouldn't ask a question like that. I can look it up with a Google search.
I think he's had some health issues, actually.
Okay. All right, I was...
You caught yourself. Good for you.
John Ankerberg was a television host, and he always had great subject matter. And I would usually see it on, this would have been in the 80s, I would see him on Sunday nights on CBN, 9 or 10 o'clock, his show would come on.
And
on there. Well, you looking up Fred to see if?
Yeah, he was born in 1945, as far as I can see. He's written 150 books and study guides.
He was born with white hair, and he still has white hair.
Exactly.
He's still alive and kicking, as they say. Mm-hmm. He was based out of Chattanooga. There was some. He was based out of Chattanooga. Kay Arthur was based out of Chattanooga. If you remember her with Precepts.
Yeah, she passed away this year.
You had Kay Arthur, and then you had Ben Hayden. We hear his show on the weekends still. Ben Hayden, he was a Presbyterian preacher. He had a radio and television broadcast. Those three, Ankerberg, Ben Hayden, and Kay Arthur, were all based out of Chattanooga.
Uh-huh.
I just remember that. All right, Alex, I wanted to ask you, and these three gentlemen here have questions too, I'm sure. I wanted to ask you, we're about to flip the calendar to 2026. And you and Bert wrote a book that we gave out at our share-a-thon about 100, what's the title of it, 100 questions about Bible
prophecy? 100 questions on Bible prophecy and the end times.
Okay. So how are you looking at, have you even given it much thought, 2026? I mean, I was telling Fred earlier, you know, and these guys, I was saying, we're a quarter century removed from Y2K. You remember worldwide scare. But I mean, on God's timetable, as you look at the scriptures, I know the Bible says, you know, you don't need to mention a day or a time in terms of when you think the Lord might come back. We've seen that tried down through time, and it and that I always cringe when I see yet another, you know, prophet or pastor or evangelist saying, okay, you know, get ready because next February 17th, the Lord is coming. The Lord Jesus is coming back. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth one day, right, Alex?
Amen. Literally, Christ will return.
Now, what gives you confidence in that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, Acts 1 verse 11, the angels told the disciples, said, this same Jesus will return in like manner. And God has a 100% track record in keeping his promises. Praise the Lord.
But Jesus left earth, Jesus physically, Jesus Christ, we read about in the Bible, after he rose from the dead.
Yep.
And appeared. How many people did he appear to?
Oh, over 500 people.
Okay, 500 people. And he also fellowshiped.
After his resurrection.
Mm-hmm. After his resurrection. He also fellowshiped with the disciples. That's so right. Many people saw him, the Bible says.
That's right.
Many people saw him after his resurrection. Mm-hmm. And then he, now for people who don't believe the Bible, you know, I would just say read it and open your heart and mind. But you can't convince people who say the Bible's just fables. Okay, well, Jesus Christ is a historical figure.
Absolutely.
That you can prove outside the Bible. So he isn't, you know, like Santa Claus or, you know, Bigfoot or anything like that. Jesus Christ, whether you believe he's the Son of God or not, is another matter. But the fact that he lived and was a historical figure is fact that you can base that is based outside the Bible. Now the question becomes, is the Bible true? So when the Bible says that Jesus Christ, it tells the story mm-hmm. of him on the Mount of Olives, right?
Yep.
Uh-huh. So he's on the Mount of Olives, which we go to every time we go on our tour of Israel. We go to that very spot where we go to the top of the Mount of Olives, and but the Bible says that he ascended, Jesus Christ physically ascended into the clouds on that mm-hmm. day, 2,000 years ago. Is that right?
That's right. This is Acts chapter 1, really verses 4 and following.
So the Bible says he will come back in like manner, back to the yes. Mount of Olives, or is that just meaning he'll come back to earth?
He will touch down on the Mount of Olives again.
Okay.
And he will walk through the Eastern Gate, which, you know, interestingly, Muslims sealed up the Eastern Gate and put a cemetery in front of it as if that would prevent Jesus from one day coming through the Eastern Gate. He will come back. Yes. And by the way, I gotta say this. I'm a big fan of the historian Will Durant. And Will Durant is one of the greatest historians that America ever produced. And he worked 50 years on one project. And it was a 12-volume set that is called The Story of Civilization. And you'll see where I'm going with this. But my mentor in grad school, Norm Geisler, knew Will Durant. And Will Durant's History of Civilization has been called one of the most important works of history in history. And Durant became a born-again Christian very late in his life, and Norm Geisler knew him. And Frank Turek and I both were exceptionally close friends with Dr. Geisler, and Geisler used to tell us about Will Durant. But here's the thing. To any skeptic who says, oh, maybe Jesus never existed, Will Durant, one of the greatest historians ever, said, if you discount Jesus or say, well, Jesus didn't exist, he said, then you have to throw out the top 100 names of antiquity for whom we have far less evidence. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. Durant became convinced because he said Jesus was the most well-authenticated life of the ancient world. And this historian of historians ultimately became a believer because he was convinced that he also said the New Testament is probably the most accurate, trustworthy historical source of the ancient world.
Red?
Yeah, Alex, you know, and when we study eschatology and we look forward to the Lord's return, I heard it described this way the other day of the super prophecy that has already taken place that points to where we are rushing towards the return of the Lord, and that is the recreation of Israel as a nation in 1948. Would you agree that had to happen preceding when the Lord will return?
Absolutely. You know, I was, a few moments ago, I was going to say that really, you know, the rebirth of the nation of Israel, May 14, 1948, although there were a number of things leading up to this, but that's the official start date of the renewed nation of Israel. Bert and I, in our book, we say that is a super sign of the end times. And also, I mean, my goodness, there's never been anything comparable in all of history. For 1900 years plus, there was no Israel, because in March of 70 AD, Jerusalem was laid waste and the Jews were dispersed around the world. And oh my goodness, now
by the Romans in the 70 in the AD 70?
Yes, yeah. March of 70 AD. And now Israel is a superpower, our longest friend and ally in the Middle East, the only democracy, only really stable democracy in the Middle East.
But the Jews were scattered all over the world for millennia.
Yes.
Yeah, two millennia. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And Hebrew was essentially a dead language, and now it is really one of the world's most predominant languages. And everybody that's ever gotten on the internet, the first internet browser in the world was, that code was written in Jerusalem. It really is a miracle. And by the way, in the aftermath of the Protestant Reformation 500 years ago, you know, one of the great themes of the Reformation was sola scriptura. The Bible is God's inerrant word, and we read God's word, which we do. But the conundrum was, what about the book of Revelation and Israel? And really, and I know we have friends listening that are perhaps Reformed or Calvinistic, and we all agree, all true Christians agree that Jesus is going to come back. I do believe in a literal seven-year tribulation. I believe in the rapture. I believe in the Battle of Armageddon. There is a belief called amillennialism that, you know, doesn't believe in some of the literalness of Revelation 4 through 22. And really, I'll say this with complete respect for non-premillennial dispensationalists. Reformed theology really was crafted because the Reformers didn't know what to do because of the non-existence of Israel. Do you see what I mean? I guarantee, right, Tim, if the Protestant Reformation had happened May 15, 1948, Reformed theology wouldn't exist.
I have a question. This is Chris here. How important is it that, well, let me back up and phrase the question this way. Do you know whether or not seminaries are doing a good job of actually getting into and training up the pastors of tomorrow when it comes to prophecy and end-time scripture? I'm asking that because in my experience, in a number of churches and denominations and whatnot that I've been a part of in terms of services and whatnot, you know, people do preach on Daniel, but it's not about prophecy. Revelation doesn't always get mentioned. And I would imagine there's probably a growing number of future pastors that don't know it as well as they should.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. And listen, I love the church. I'm in a pulpit somewhere every weekend, literally. 2,200 churches that the Lord has allowed me to speak in the last 27 years. I give God the glory. But I really don't think the majority of pastors are able or willing to preach about biblical eschatology, because they've not been taught that. And I know Dallas Seminary is really good, and they're very much associated with biblical eschatology. When I was at Liberty was, we had, semester-long courses on eschatology, and we looked at all the different views. But I will say this, it is virtually impossible to find a pastor under 50 that believes in the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I'm not beating up on pastors, but 30 years ago, Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins wrote the Left Behind series, mm-hmm. which at one time, Tyndale was publishing three shifts. I mean, the Left Behind series introduced millions of readers to premillennial eschatology. And I knew Tim LaHaye. I do know Jerry Jenkins. It's great. I believe in that model, rapture, tribulation, Armageddon, return, millennium, new heavens and new earth. But there really was a backlash, and I'm not going to name their names. I knew two pretty famous authors that tried to write a series against the Left Behind books. It failed. They didn't sell.
What was that called? Stayed Here?
Yeah.
The Stayed Here series?
It was really a reaction. And I was at NRB back in 2004, Tim. And these two authors I bumped into, and they were trying to peddle this series of books that was like the anti-Left Behind series. And their rationale, they said, it's just not fair. Those books are selling so much, there needs to be an opposite. And I said, well, no, our writing needs to reflect good hermeneutics. And here's my point. The anti-rapture sentiment is really kind of a reaction against the popularity of premillennial eschatology.
Yeah.
But I believe it's true. Bert and I on Exploring the Word, we're very respectful. We have a lot of different people that listen, a lot of different people that call in. But Bert and I really believe that all of the scriptures taken at face value for what the language means, and really what the early church understood it to mean as well, that there's going to be this catching away, meeting the Lord in the clouds, 7 years of tribulation, literally hell on earth. I'm not being scatological. I mean, it's going to be that way, and there'll be a global dictator, the Antichrist, and Christ will return, the Battle of Armageddon. Satan and his minions will gather at the plains of Megiddo to try to not only destroy the church and the Jews, but to kill off God. And Christ, literally mm-hmm. with the breath of his nostrils, just with a sigh, Satan and his armies are vanquished. And there'll be a literal thousand-year millennium. Honestly, I and in our prophecy book, and we respectfully talk about the different views, but I really think the most consistent, helpful, and faithful to the text way to handle it is to take it literally.
Yeah. Well, Alex McFarland and Bert Harper co-authored a book with co-authored a book that we gave out for those who made a donation during our fall share-a-thon here on American Family Radio. And the book is, if you didn't give a donation during share-a-thon, I want to know why not. I would just like you to answer that question for me. No, I'm just kidding. If you didn't make a donation, you can still make a year-end donation, get a tax deduction here.
That's right.
To American Amen. Family Radio.
You can purchase it online.
Yes, all kidding aside.
Resource.
If you didn't get the book as a result of giving to AFR, you can buy the book. How can they do that, Wesley?
Resources with an S, resources.afa.net.
What's the name of it?
100 Bible Questions and Answers on Prophecy and the End Times by Alex McFarland and Bert Harper.
Okay, so 100 Bible Questions and Answers on Prophecy and the End Time. Yes, Wesley?
Changing subjects a little bit. Alex, what do y'all, what's the plans for New Year's when y'all start back after New Year's as far as exploring the Word?
Well, yesterday we were in Isaiah chapter 32, so we're halfway through the book of Isaiah. And, you know, we take questions and we take prayer requests on Tuesdays, and it's just become so special. And, Tim, I just commend you for having this idea. Now, over 15 years ago, 3,000 shows. So Bert and I are almost having taught through every verse of the Bible three times completely.
Wow.
One other thing, I got to tell you this really quickly. Last year, Bert and I started doing something. We give out a certificate to any listener that reads the Bible through in a year. And last year, we gave out, it was about 75 certificates, and it's the Exploring the Word, Read the Bible in a Year acknowledgement. And so, if you did that, if you read the Bible completely in calendar year 2025, email us word@afr.net, and Bert and I will send you a signed certificate.
Awesome. That is great. One other question here. We have where we live here in Mississippi, we have a lot of Ole Miss fans. Alex, I don't know if you follow college football at all?
Well, UNC Chapel Hill, NC State, Duke, Wake Forest.
Yeah, that's basketball, though.
The Demon Deacons are playing on Friday.
Demon Deacons.
Yeah.
So Satan's team.
Yeah.
Know what you're saying?
Yeah.
The Demon Deacons of Wake Forest. Yes,
kind of an odd name for a seminary,
okay.
But yeah.
So anyway.
I've always wondered about that. But then I went to a few deacons meetings, and I sort of get it.
And saw some demons?
I knew it.
Okay, I just wondered, because we have a lot of Ole Miss fans under our roof here because we live in Mississippi, and
sure.
They want to know, what does the Bible say about them winning the national championship? Is that even mentioned in the book of Revelation? In football.
You know, that's just one of those topics we did not come across.
Maybe in your next book, you can discuss
Second Hezekiah 2:14.
Yes. Yeah. All right, people, don't email me or write me. I'm just kidding.
JK.
Having a little fun here but this topic is very serious. It's called Bible prophecy, and
yes.
So strongly encourage you to read yourself and to study and get a copy of this book Alex McFarland and Bert Harper wrote. But most importantly, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, now's the time to do it. Because you're hearing me speak on this means you're responsible for the information I've just shared, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fred, you talked about this morning, the difference between the word committed and surrendered.
Yeah.
About that.
It's a story that Adrian Rogers told many years ago. He was talking to somebody on the mission field overseas, and Adrian Rogers asked this gentleman, he said, describe American Christianity to me. And he said, well, Americans talk a lot about being a committed Christian. Right. He says, where we live, we talk about being a surrendered Christian. And he said, the difference is a committed Christian is one who controls how far they're going to go in their Christianity. Mm-hmm. A surrendered Christian surrenders themselves to God and allows God to work out God's plan for your life.
You know, I pray this prayer, not every day, but I should probably, but I do pray this prayer often. Lord, help me to yield myself to your will.
Yes.
Mm.
You have to do that by your will.
Yes.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You have to surrender. That's a great word. So
yes.
Surrender your life to Christ and change your eternal destiny.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what the...
If you want to
say, well, it's the first time I've heard this, well, go pick up the Bible and read the Gospel of John.
Start there.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and I got it right, didn't I?
Yes,
I okay. After all these years, I didn't want to mess that one up. Go read the book of John, the Gospel of John. It'll take you about, I don't know, a couple of hours maybe. And then you'll have a pretty good understanding of what we're talking about here. on the program. Thank you, Alex. Have a great day, my friend. Talk to you later.
Blessings, brothers.
Okay.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.